Father, we stand and worship this great God that we serve. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy. You are great. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We magnify your name. We praise and exalt you. Hallelujah. That's it. Talk about your God right now. Hallelujah, Lord. You're great. You are mighty. There's nobody like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you. We lift you up today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great is our God. Greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. They're singing that song about God being great, and it just hit me. You know, they're singing about my God. Sometimes we just need to personalize it a little bit. You know, yeah, he's our God, but he's my God. Amen. He is greater than anything I face. He is greater than anything that we will go through. Why don't you just give him a great praise? The Bible says he is great and he is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. We magnify our King. We exalt our Lord and Savior. We lift you up, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I was about ready to let Sister Sarah go ahead and preach. I think she was doing a little bit of it there. Amen. That's okay. So that's okay. Amen. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we'll be reading verses 50 and 51. Thankful for the presence of the Lord that's in this place. Thankful for each of you that are here tonight worshiping God and come to hear his word. I'm thankful for that video camera back there. My daughter is in South Korea, and she is off work all week this week, and so she said, I get to watch the service tonight. Normally, she's already teaching, so hi, Em. Amen. Hope you enjoy seeing a bit of home. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 50, says this, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Our theme this year, Pastor has chosen to be a theme of follow. And with that in mind, and with this passage we read, I want to lift just the first part of that first verse out. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. As far as to Bethany. And I want to preach tonight this message, will you follow as far as Bethany? Why don't we ask for God's help for this service, Lord, and his anointing. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for what you've already done, your touch upon this service, your spirit, God, that is here. You're a great God. You're a mighty God. You're already doing a great work and a mighty work. Pray, God, now that your word would come alive in our hearts, that it would touch us, that it would lead us, that it would stir us, God, that it would inspire us, hallelujah, and that it would ultimately draw us closer to you, Jesus, to be more like you, hallelujah, and to be what you want us to be. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Pray it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. The words lead and follow go hand in hand. Can't have one without the other. They can't stand alone. They require one another, because you can feel like you are leading, but if you look behind and no one's following, then you're just taking a walk. On the other hand, you can say that you are following, but if there's nobody in front, then you're just wandering and fooling yourselves. And we're only followers of Christ if we allow him to lead us. You can say you're a follower, but if you're not listening to his word and you're not following his leading and you're not listening to this voice of the Spirit and doing what God wants you to do, you're not following. You're not a follower. So those who claim to be seeking their own path to heaven, they're not following Jesus. He plainly told us this, I am the way. I am the truth and I'm the life, and you don't come to the Father any other way but by me. He said unto them, he said, verily I say unto you, he that enters not by the door, and he said that he was the door, you come in any other way, he said, you are a thief and a robber. And so he talked about them, he said, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, and he puts forth his sheep and goes before him, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I want to hear his voice, don't you? Amen. I want to make sure what I'm following is Jesus Christ. I don't want to follow my own ideas or anything else if it's not what Jesus says. said again in John, he said, "Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So to be a disciple is to follow Jesus. Now there was something special about Bethany that we read about in the Bible. Bethany was a village on the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, as you headed out of Jerusalem and would head towards Jericho. And it was a place that Jesus often resorted to when he visited Jerusalem. And in fact, it was really a place of safety for him because he didn't want to stay in the city of Jerusalem during the nighttime because there would be those who would wish to capture him, and they didn't want to do it in the daytime because there were too many people around, and so they were afraid of the crowds and the multitudes. And so the Bible tells us that in the daytime he was teaching in the temple there at Jerusalem, and at night he went out and he abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. So he would go out, and we know specifically from John that he would go to Bethany and usually stay at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and spend his nights. There are several significant events that took place in Bethany and on the Mount of Olives, and you can kind of put those together as one, because when you referred to the Mount of Olives, you were probably talking about Bethany or the area around there. And those who followed Jesus there saw and heard many great things from his ministry. Furthermore, Jesus is not done with that mount, because we're going to hear more about it in the future, and he will return there someday. But my question tonight is, will you follow as far as Bethany? Are you willing to go to Bethany? The first thing that Bethany represents to us when we look at the scripture is the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. We've already heard about a miracle tonight of God reaching down and touching a migraine. And we're introduced to Bethany by John. John said, "Now there was a certain man who was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Now we know the story. Word was sent to Jesus, "Come, your friend Lazarus is sick. You need to come and be with him." And Jesus waited a couple of days. He didn't immediately jump up and head toward Bethany, but he waited about 2 days, didn't even say anything to those that were with him. And a couple days later, he gets up and he tells his disciples, "Well, it's time to go to Bethany because we need to be with Lazarus." Immediately, the disciples begin to protest. "Now, wait a minute, Jesus. Last time we went anywhere near Jerusalem, they tried to kill you. Why do you want to go to Bethany?" And so they tried to talk him out of it. His disciples said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late, they sought to stone you, and you're going to go back there again? Why would you do that, Jesus?" And so after a bit of arguing, it was Thomas, of all people, the one that we call the doubting Thomas, who finally said, "You know what? Let's go." Now, that isn't quite the way he said it. The Bible says he said it this way to his disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." Well, it's a great idea, Jesus. If you're going, we'll just go too and we'll all die. Not exactly what we would think of as words of faith, but at least a willingness to say, "You know what, Jesus? If you're going, I'm going to follow." Then again, maybe that is what faith is all about, right? We don't understand all that he wants when he says, "Let's go to Bethany." We don't understand all that he intends when he said, "Why don't you come? We're going to head this way." Well, that doesn't look right, God. It doesn't look like the way we ought to go. Doesn't look like what we ought to do. Thomas saw no safety in their future. Maybe didn't even know if he, yet he was willing to follow Jesus, even if it meant going to his death. And then when they came, the Bible says he found Lazarus there in the grave, and he had already been there 4 days. Of course, we know the story. Martha said, "Well, yeah, there's going to be a resurrection. Don't worry about it, Jesus. If only you'd come sooner, then it would all have been okay. And now, you know, you missed your chance." Jesus says, "Where is he?" They took him to the tomb. He said, "Take away the stone." And Martha says, wait a minute, Jesus. What are you talking about? You don't move a stone away from a tomb when somebody's been dead 4 days. He said, "Behold, by now he stinks." They didn't have the embalming methods that we have, and it wasn't the case. He said, "Don't move the stone. He's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifts up his eyes, and he says, "Father, I thank you because you've heard me. And I knew that you heard me always, but because of these people, Mary and others, Martha, that stand around, that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And here comes Lazarus, bound in grave clothes, face wrapped about with a napkin. But here he comes, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. What a miracle. What a stir it caused in Jerusalem. What excitement it generated to all those that had followed Jesus there. And if we're going to see the miraculous, you've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going with you to Bethany. I don't understand everything that's going to happen. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes we see a situation and we look at it and say, oh, I don't know about that. Go ahead and pray for that situation. Go ahead and step out on faith and say, Lord, I'm going to follow your leading. I'm going to Bethany. It doesn't make sense in my mind. I don't see anything happen, but Lord, I'm going to be obedient to the Spirit and I'm going to Bethany. And when you're willing to go to Bethany, you will see the miraculous. The way may not be easy, but the rewards will be great. You know, there's a lot that desire to see miraculous. Many will follow when signs and wonders are being performed. We like to hear of miracles. And Jesus spoke of those who, he said, sometimes you just follow me because of the miracles, the loaves that are multiplied. Yet when the teaching gets tough and it gets intense, they turned around and walked away. It's easy to follow him to Bethany when we know there's going to be a miracle. But are you willing to follow him to Bethany? The second thing Bethany represents is a place of praise. It was in Bethany that we hear of a woman with an alabaster box. And the Bible tells us when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious, great value, very costly ointment. And she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now some people looked at that. The disciples looked at it. They had never seen something so extravagant. They understood. And we read that and we think an ointment, very precious. We don't really grasp the significance of that, but it's something that was very, very expensive. Most likely even the disciples had never lavished such a precious gift on Jesus Christ. Yet something in that woman understood. Jesus, you deserve the very best that I have. You deserve the one thing that is the most precious to me, this thing that I have saved. You deserve it. And pure praise comes from saying, you know what? I'm going to give you, God, the very best that I have. Are you willing to go to Bethany and say, you know what, Lord, I've come to give you everything I've got. I've come to praise you with my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I'm not just going to come to church and go through emotion, but Lord, I've come to worship my Savior. I've come to talk to a God that is great and greatly to be praised, a God that is mighty. God spoke through Isaiah. He said, there's some of you, you draw near with my mouth. You go through the motions. Your lips do honor me. He said, but you've removed your heart from me. But those that are willing to follow as far as Bethany will learn to offer their best praise. To do anything less is to deny his lordship. To do anything less is say, well, Lord, you really don't deserve what I've got in reserve. You don't deserve the things that I brought, and so I'll just give you a little bit here and a little bit there. I don't ever want to come to church with that kind of an attitude. Lord, I just can't do it tonight. I'm just not going to give it to you tonight. Amen. I'm going to give him everything I have. The psalmist said it this way, when I enter his gates, I'm coming with thanksgiving. When I get in his courts, I'm coming with praise. I'm going to be thankful unto him. I'm going to bless his name. That's the way we come to Bethany, to worship our Savior. And the praise didn't stop there. It was from the Mount of Olives that Jesus began his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and they came to Bethphage, which is another town just very close to Bethany. It was there also on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, and they went as Jesus commanded them. They got a donkey. They set him on it. And the Bible says a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. They cut down branches from the trees. They put them in the way. And the multitudes that went before, multitudes following, saying, Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And they begin to praise and to worship the one that they could see was going to be coming as their king. The scene went from one woman pouring out an alabaster box, everything that she had, to multitudes of people praising and glorifying God. And if you will follow him to Bethany like those people, you will recognize who he is. As they saw him on that donkey, they could recall the scenes of Solomon riding into Jerusalem, being crowned as king. And they realize he's presenting himself to us. He's the king that is going to come in the seat of David. And they begin to praise and to exalt him and lift up Jesus Christ. And it's only as we give him pure, unadulterated praise that we see the mighty God in Christ. Oh, to follow as far as to Bethany. I don't ever want to stop short but I want to make it to where he is. Bethany was not only a place of praise, it was a place of revelation. Not only did Jesus reveal himself there as the King of the Jews, but it was also on the mount that he revealed to his disciples the end time events. They had walked through Jerusalem in the daytime. They saw the great temple, pointed it out to Jesus, said, look at these stones. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, not one of those are going to be left upon each other. What are you talking about, Jesus? Don't say that here in Jerusalem. Do you want to go ahead and get killed now? Don't be talking against that. And so he takes them out of Jerusalem. And where do they go? They go back to the Mount of Olives. And he sits down to what we call the Olivet Discourse. And he begins to talk to them. He sat on the Mount of Olives. And the disciples come to him. Tell us, when are these things going to be? And what are going to be the signs of your coming in the end of the world? And Jesus begins to expound to them everything that was going to happen about nations rising against nations, the scriptures that we're so familiar with, and begins to reveal to them what was going to happen. The mountain is still a place of revelation. Man, when we follow him as far as Bethany, we're going to understand some things in the Spirit and understand some things from his word that we have not seen before. Why? Because we said, you know what? I'm going to follow, Lord, and I'm going to listen to you. Paul wrote it this way. He said, as it is written, eye hasn't seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't even entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And we often stop there, but he goes on and say, but God has revealed them unto us. It's not all a mystery. He said he has revealed them to us because the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. And there are some things you will only know if you're willing to say, I'm going with you to Bethany. I'm going with you, Lord, to the mount. I'm going to get in your word and I'm going to seek your Spirit. Amen. You can know God's plan for your life. You can know God's will for your life. You will understand the meaning of things. No, God's not going to give you a revelation beyond what he has already revealed in his word. But he will open your mind to the scriptures to understand their meaning. It's no coincidence that John's revelation, properly called the revelation of Jesus Christ, is what? A revelation of end time events. Well, what's that got to do with Jesus? What it does, it points to us there is one that is victorious. And when we look at the world and we look at all the things around us, it lets us know there is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will reveal to us who Jesus is. And that revelation has given countless generations of saints hope in a victorious church with a victorious leader. And it reveals it because he wins, we wins. What a revelation is available to us if we will follow as far as Bethany, as far as Bethany. Bethany was a place of promise. In our text, we read this, and he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's how Luke ended his gospel. But in his sequel, he fills in some of those details in Acts chapter 1. He said, and being assembled there together with them, he commanded them, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. John baptized with water, but you are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What he was saying is, hold on, the promise is coming. Amen. They went to Bethany and he said, guess what? There's a promise that I've been making. There's a promise you read in the Old Testament. It's been there and it is given to those who follow as far as Bethany. The prophets had spoken about it, but had no concept of how it would happen or when it would happen. But to these followers of Jesus, the promise comes anew. Only a few more days and you're going to have it. Tarry in Jerusalem. The promise is coming. Even more, with the coming of the Spirit, there's a second promise. Not only are you going to receive the Holy Ghost, he said, but you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Jesus had told his disciples, I say unto you, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you're going to do also, and greater works than these. Why? Because I go to my Father. God's church is a dynamic church. God's church is a powerful church. And just as Jesus ministered with signs and wonders following God's church is to minister in that same realm and in that same way. But will you follow as far as Bethany? Will you be willing to step into that working of the Spirit? Will you be willing to follow that promise and say, Lord, you said it. There's great power that's going to come upon your church. He's filled you with his Spirit. Amen. And he promises to give you power. Will you walk in the power of the Spirit? Will you pick up the weapons of your warfare that are mighty through God? Will you make a difference in your world? And he made a final promise at Bethany. He said, you men of Galilee, you're standing here gazing into heaven. I'm going to tell you something. This same Jesus which you see go away, he's going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And so then they left the Mount of Olives with a hope that said, you know what? He's coming again. And I tell you, when you get to Bethany, a lot of things in this world will cloud our vision and everything else. But when you get back to the mount, you look and you say, you know what? I still believe Jesus is coming soon. I still believe. Don't lose your hope. As Jesus disappeared from sight, don't lose hope. This same Jesus is coming again. Return to your home with a full assurance that he's coming back. You know, sometimes we just have to go back to the mount to hear the promises again that are going to sustain us to a journey. Those who refuse to follow as far as Bethany lose hope and fall by the wayside. I want to go back to Bethany. I want to go back to the mount. Bethany not only represents those things, it is a place of commissioning. With the promise of power, of course, came responsibility. You are going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, but here's what it's for. You shall be witnesses. And he gave that commission. Matthew records it this way. Jesus looked at them. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And he gave a commission. To catch a vision for souls, you have to go as far as Bethany. Soul winning was Jesus' passion. And a church or an individual that will follow him is a church and an individual that is going to be passionate for souls. And if that passion is gone and it is not there, maybe it's time to go back to Bethany. It's time to go back to hear the Lord say, go, teach, baptize, witness. If you've lost the vision, head back to Bethany. The entire Passion Week, as we call it, the entire week that Jesus spent before his crucifixion. He spent his days in Jerusalem, as we said, and his nights were on the Mount of Olives. That lets us know that going to Bethany, it's not a one-time journey. You don't do it once in your life and say, that's good enough. We've got to return to Bethany throughout our lives. Throughout our lives. When we lose our passion, when we lose that commission grows cold, when the power seems to get a little weak in our lives, when we forget the miraculous, when we forget the things that he has revealed to us, it's time to go back to Bethany. Before Jesus ever personally stepped foot on the Mount of Olives, the prophet had spoken of a far distant day. He talked about a day like none the world had ever seen. Back in the Old Testament, this day, Bethany will represent victory over righteousness, good over evil, truth over false doctrine, joy over sorrow, peace over strife, Jesus over the devil. Zechariah wrote it this way. He said, then the Lord will go forth and he will fight against these nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And where is he going to go? His feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the mountain, the Bible said, will cleave in the midst. And some of it will go toward the east and the west. And there will be a very great valley. Half of the mountain will be removed to the north, half of it to the south. And he said, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. We're coming back to Bethany, church. When we leave this place and we're in heaven and things begin to happen on earth and the battle of Armageddon is all set and the nations gather against Jerusalem and it looks like all hope is lost. You know what the Bible says? Enoch prophesied. He said the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Amen. And where are they coming? They're coming back to Bethany. They're coming back to where Jesus ascended. They're coming back to that place. And Jesus is going to reign from this earth. In that day, there will be victory. In that day, those who follow as far as Bethany will reign with him upon this earth. In fact, Zechariah says it this way, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not a day, not a night, but it shall come to pass that in the evening time it's going to be light. And in that day, the living waters are going to go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea or the Sea of Galilee, half toward the Hinder Sea, the Dead Sea. And in the summer and winter it shall be. And the Lord, he's going to be king over all the earth. And in that day, there's going to be one Lord. And that day, his name will be one. Yeah, we look at this world sometimes and we think, is it ever going to get all straightened out? Yes, it is. It is when we come back to Bethany. John saw that victory on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, they sung a new song. They said, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals. You've redeemed us, every blood, every kindred, every tongue, every people. And he said, and you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we're going to reign on the earth. When? When we come back to Bethany. Are you willing to go as far as Bethany? All of these things Bethany represents are available to those who are willing to follow. Miracles, praise, revelation, promises, commissioning, victory. It's ours if we'll follow Jesus to Bethany. But there's one more trip to the mount that we have to make. And I am convinced that without making this trip, you won't enjoy the benefits of any of the others. The Last Supper was finished. Judas had departed to the high priest to betray his master and collect his reward. And Matthew said, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, back toward Bethany. And Luke said, and he came out, and as he went, as he was wont, or as he usually did, to the Mount of Olives, his disciples also followed him. Are you willing to follow as far as Bethany? Only this time it's going to be different. They're not going to see Lazarus raised from the dead. They're not going to watch a woman praise him with her alabaster box, or to see the multitudes waving palm branches and crying, Hosanna, he's great. They're not going for that reason. There's no miracle. There's no praise. There's no great revelation of here's what it's going to be and here's what I'm going to do. There's not going to be a promise this night. There's not going to be a commission to go. It's not going to be the time of victory when Christ sets up his kingdom. But this time, they would learn what it means to die to self. Then Jesus saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying this, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, and what a nevertheless. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Luke said, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Can I tell you, the cross may have killed his body, but Gethsemane killed that human will. At Gethsemane, he submitted all his plans to the plans of the Father. So great was the surrender, I believe, of his flesh, that even had God changed his mind, even the work would have been done in the mind of Jesus. Yes, he still was going to have to endure the pain. He was still going to have to endure the mocking, the suffering. But the die had already been cast. He was going to go through it. Nothing hell could throw at him would change his resolve, because he went back to Bethany. His next trip to Bethany would be as a risen Savior, but this time he came to die. He came to die. Will you follow as far as Bethany? Will you submit your will completely to the Father's plans? That's where Jesus' words earlier in John chapter 12 begin to make a little bit more sense to them. When Jesus looked at them and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it's going to abide alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. If you love your life, if you hold on to the things that you have, if you hold on to your plans and your will and everything and say, I'm going to do it my way, he said, you'll lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. To see the fruit of miracles and praise and revelation and promise and commission and victory, first, you've got to be willing to die. And can I ask, what is there in your life that you've let live that keeps you from completely following him? What is there that says, I'm going to hold on to this dream, this plan, this thing I want to do, and I don't think I want to go to Bethany because I'll have to lay it all down. I have to lay it all down. Let's stand tonight. Jesus finished that passage and he said this: if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. And so my question is, are you willing to follow as far as Bethany? Yeah, you'll follow for the miracle. You'll follow when you hear there's a promise. We'll follow when it's a time of praise and worship. Oh, follow, Lord, when you're going to give us great promises, all those great, when there's victory. But am I willing to follow to the garden and fall on my face and say, not my will, but thine be done? I don't think I need to make an altar call tonight. I'm just asking you, are you willing to follow as far as Bethany? Sure, you want the miracles. You want the power. We all do, and we will. We'll see it. We'll see those great things, but it's got to start when you give your life and you put it on the altar. And it's not my will, God. It's not my plans. It's not what I want to do, God, but I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm going to leave this altar convinced of what you want in my life and the plans that you have. I'm going to come to Bethany one more time. I'm going to come to the Mount of Olives, and I'm going to be there. That's it. Seek his face. This is between you and God. This was not a time Jesus had to separate himself from everyone else, even his closest disciples. He went just a little further. It wasn't with the great multitudes who were screaming and shouting, Hosanna, but it was by himself that he had to confront self. Not my will, not my plans, not what I want to do, but what you want, God. That's it. Let's seek him, church. Let's seek him. God's going to do great things in your life, but it's got to start with a complete submission of your will to his will. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Begin to seek him right now. Lord, I want your will in my life. I want your plans for my life, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm coming back to Bethany with you, Jesus. There were only three disciples that were willing to go with him to the garden. The rest stayed behind. Oh, God, take us to Bethany. Take us to Bethany. Hallelujah. That's it. Let's seek him, church. Let's seek him.